Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Are you confused right now by the state of the world? Do you feel that you're in some sort of immersive theatre? That pantomime season is fast approaching. Brown's daughter's an opera singer at the Royal Opera House, and she was recently in Hoffman, and she was supposed to be like a confused maths pupil, and it just still makes me nauseous a bit. The pose all the way through a particular number is like, what's going on? The name Habakkuk means he who embraces or he who wrestles. It is an appropriate name for both the prophet and the book, because Habakkuk comes to a firm faith through grappling with tough questions. A prophet is not just someone who tells the future. That's how we speak about the prophetic. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God. We tend to avoid prophets like this with their uncomfortable truths, myself included, but we desperately need them. Iniquity, trouble, plundering, violence, strife. Habakkuk saw trouble and sin everywhere, from personal relationships to the courts of law. This distressed him so much that he cried out to God and asked God why he didn't bring judgment and immediately correct things. He was prophesying during the last days of the southern kingdom of Judah, about 600 BC. The northern kingdom Israel had already gone into exile. That once proud and powerful nation had been reduced to a fourth-rate power. As I read these verses, I thought about my trip to Wimbledon Centre Court this year. We really turned into those nodding Churchills in the back of the car as the top seat blasted that little yellow ball back and forth. This was Judah. It had become the ball in a game of power between the great kingdom of Assyria and the nation of Egypt. They were smashed back and forth, and that international power match had produced eternal chaos. As so often happens when a nation is in decline, this little country was experiencing moral and spiritual bankruptcy. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound contemporary? In that atmosphere, Habakkuk says, the law is paralysed. When there's so much wrong, where do you start to make it right? Think, for example, of the currently contentious problems of illegal immigration or climate change. When there are so many things vying for our attention and support, what often happens is that we redefine right and wrong. Doesn't that describe the gridlock in Washington DC right now, where public services have closed down? I know that many are still working for no pay, but even when the righteous try to make justice happen, justice gets perverted. And so says the prophet, the righteous suffer, while the wicked prosper. Does God allow us to see failings and trouble in ourselves and in others? How do we benefit when God allows us to see our shortcomings? It keeps us humble. We seek Him more earnestly in our dark hour of need. make us feel afraid to bring these questions to God? Is it okay to bring that kind of frustration to God? And I would say, is it okay? It's invited. Habakkuk asks how longs, and he's wise, but he doesn't give up. He doesn't say, enough God, I quit. The prophet remained a believer. As a matter of fact, I am convinced that it is precisely faith that makes us ask why, how long. It is because we believe that God is just and righteous and holy and merciful and gracious that the injustice and suffering in this world so confuse us. What you have in a man of Habakkuk is a man of faith taking his questions and complaints not to the neighbourhood pub, not to the local newspaper, not to the television talk show, but to his God. He complains not against God, but to God. And wonder of wonders, God answers him. I mean, he actually answers him, not once, not even twice, but three times. We need to be still and listen to that agonised voice coming to us over the years and over the miles, the voice of the Son of God crying, my God, why? When you can't make sense of human suffering, think long and hard about God's suffering for us on a cross. Then in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we have the short summary version of God's long answer to the prophet's accusation. He calls on the prophet to walk by faith, even when he can't figure it out. The short prophecy concludes in chapter 3 with perhaps the loveliest expression of enduring faith found anywhere in Scripture. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread the heights. The phrase, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, symbolises agility, sure-footedness, and the ability to navigate difficult terrain. Finally, he enables me to tread on the heights. This suggests elevation above our troubles and a divine perspective on life's challenges. This minor prophet can teach us how to live triumphantly in times of trouble, how to keep living and believing when there are pieces missing in the puzzle. We should have courage to take that more difficult route where we lean into and embrace, we wrestle with God, and there are lots of testimonies that at some point, and this may be decades down the road, there is a depth to what the Lord does in our hearts that can only happen in the wilderness, in the deepest season. I guarantee that any spiritual juggernaut, any person of faith that you admire, that they've gone through some season of the cross, a dark night of the soul. After her death, Mother Teresa's journals were found to be full of deep anguish. She said, I'm not sure I believe in God anymore. I'm not sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But she embraced, she wrestled like Habakkuk. My George was mad about wrestling between the ages of 6 and 10. We had many a trip to the O2 to see the WWE. George did not like the fact that his favourite wrestler, John Cena, was regularly beaten by another who used dirty tactics. First he wrote to the baddie, no reply. So George took it on himself to write to John Cena in America with some advice about what he needed to do to overcome his bad opponent. He described a few manoeuvres and confidently finished the letter. I'm sure you'll be interested to know a little bit more about me, seeing as how I'm going to make you successful. continued with a biography of his short life thus far. But a small person noticing a problem, analysing it, wrestling with it in anguish at unfairness, having the courage to speak up to the big guy. And yes, the big guy has a plan. And yes, the big guy will come back in glory to the eternal adulation of his fans.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.